Reasons, Habits, Fears by Whimsical Meerkat. Read by Whimsical Meerkat. The rating is explicit. No archive warnings apply. The fandom is Stargate Atlantis. The relationship is Rodney McKay / John Shepard. Additional tags. Hand jobs. Angst. Smut. Smut and angst. Friends to lovers. Idiots in love. Didn't know they were dating. Everyone else did, though. Boys being dumb. So long, Rodney? Summary. So long, Rodney? So long, Rodney? John jerked upright as Rodney came barreling into his quarters. If they had been on Earth, the wall behind the door would have had a new doorknob-shaped hole. Fortunately, it was Atlantis, so the door just slid nearly silently into the wall. What the hell, Rodney? John said when Rodney just stared at him from the doorway, hands fisted by his sides. He looked more angry than panicked, so it probably wasn't an emergency. Probably. Author's notes. I decided to see if someone had an SGA prompt out for Chocolate Box, and no, yeah, totally, here's a treat for you. I hope you enjoy it. I've read quite a bit of SGA fic, but just started watching the show for the first time. When I saw the scene at the end of season one where John realizes Rodney won't be able to fix the control chair and just says, "So long, Rodney," before going off to fly that bomb into the hive ship, this plot bunny sat on my chest and refused to move. I literally yelled at my TV. Anyway, the plan was for this to be a single scene, but Rodney and John had other ideas. The title is from the poem Faint Music by Robert Haas. Beta by the inimitable Jerome Treiber, who introduced me to this fandom in the first place. So long, Rodney? So long, Rodney? John jerked upright as Rodney came barreling into his quarters. If they had been on Earth, the wall behind the door would have had a new doorknob-shaped hole. Fortunately, it was Atlantis, so the door just near silently slid into the wall. What the hell, Rodney? John said when Rodney just stared at him from the doorway, hands fisted by his sides. He looked more angry than panicked, so it probably wasn't an emergency. Probably. He looked at his clock. 3:07. He'd only been asleep for 3 hours. Seriously, Rodney? So long, Rodney? Rodney hissed. If I repeat that, will you leave? John asked, sitting all the way up. It was weird having a conversation with Rodney from bed when he was still half asleep, but he was hoping to get some more sleep. Plus, boxers wouldn't really hide his body's reaction to a rumpled Rodney yelling at him. Rodney deflated. John hadn't realized how straight he was standing until he slumped. He stared at John, but didn't say anything. John couldn't tell what all the emotions chasing across his face were, but none of them were good. So many times he had wondered what it would take to make Rodney McKay speechless. Now that he'd seen it, he would do just about anything to fix it and never see it again. Sit down, Rodney, he said, trying to sound patient without letting on how freaked out he was. Rodney dropped heavily into his desk chair and stared at his hands. John sat and watched him, hoping he would say something soon. He was clearly mad about something. John wanted him to go back to yelling. You said so long, Rodney, he eventually said. Before John could ask him again what he was talking about, Rodney lifted his head and met his eyes. John wasn't sure what he had expected to see in Rodney's eyes. Anger, probably. He wasn't expecting grief and fear. When Rodney spoke again, his voice sounded jagged. You said so long, Rodney, and rolled out of that chair and went off to nobly sacrifice yourself without even trying to tell me what you were doing. He was shouting by the end. John stared at him. That was months ago, he finally said. That doesn't make it okay. What did you want me to say? Oh, I don't know. How about, hey, Rodney, I'm going to go fly a bomb into a hive ship. Been nice knowing you. Or, it's been an honor working with someone of your intelligence and skill, Rodney. Or literally anything that would have given me a chance to, I don't know, tell you. He cut off. Tell me what, Rodney? John asked, barely breathing. It doesn't matter, Rodney said dismissively. The point is you didn't even try to say goodbye. Your fucking last words to me were so long, Rodney. You didn't even bother to make sure I'd heard you. Have you been sitting on this for months? I didn't remember until tonight. So you're mad at me for not taking time that was necessary to save the lives of everyone on Atlantis to say goodbye? Yes! Rodney deflated again, obviously recognizing how that sounded. He was bad at people, and he frequently didn't bother to care what they were feeling, but he obviously knew that was too far. He looked at his hands again while John took a few minutes to look at the wall. You would have tried to stop me, he told the wall. Well, of course I would have, Rodney snapped. We could have found another way. I would have gotten the chair working. If there had been another way, you would have found it by then, Rodney. Rodney didn't say anything, which told John more than anything how right he was. Do you have any idea what it was like finding out you were in that jumper when I was standing in the middle of the control room? Rodney said in that jagged voice again. John just stared at him. He hadn't had any idea. He hadn't really thought about it, but seeing Rodney's face in this moment, he realized he might have missed some stuff, missed some things about how Rodney felt in general. I'm sorry, he said. I didn't let myself think about anything once I realized. I wouldn't have said anything to anyone if Elizabeth hadn't stopped me on my way to the jumper. All you said was, I'm going in, Rodney said. What else was I going to say? John asked. I don't know, but you could have said something. What the hell could I have possibly said to you on an open line with fucking everyone listening in, Rodney? You were going to die. What couldn't you have said? Exactly. I was going to die. What was I going to drop a bunch of feelings on you, make you live with it, probably feel guilt? Too late, John realized what he was saying, what he'd already said. He looked away from Rodney. He'd said too much and let it hang too long to claim he'd been talking about friendship and camaraderie. Rodney might be bad at understanding people, but even he couldn't possibly have missed that. Feelings? Rodney asked carefully. John looked back over. Rodney's gaze was intent, digging in like he was searching for everything John was thinking and feeling in that moment. John didn't know what Rodney saw, but it felt like his chest was peeled open, skin flayed away, and his heart exposed to the elements. It doesn't matter, he finally said. Of course it matters. It doesn't matter, John insisted. What I did or didn't say then doesn't matter because the Daedalus showed up and I didn't die. I'm still here. In case it escaped your notice, we are both still here. You didn't lose your chance to say whatever you're talking about saying to me, so go ahead. Rodney had his arms crossed over his chest. He looked as stubborn and belligerent as ever, and John wanted him. He couldn't have him, though. It doesn't matter, Rodney, he said wearily. Of course it matters. Jesus, is this some sort of macho can't talk about your feelings bullshit? Rodney had uncrossed his arms and was waving them around in a very dramatic fashion. John's heart hurt. That's just, I can talk about my feelings just fine, but I'd rather not when there's fuck all I can do about them, John interrupted when it was clear Rodney wasn't going to stop talking. Well, that's just defeatist, Rodney said mulishly. What, are you afraid to talk about them? Is this some sort of internalized homophobia thing? What's the real problem? What's the real problem? The real problem is Caldwell has it out for me, and you are the least subtle person I have ever met. It's like discretion isn't even in your vocabulary. John hadn't really meant to say all of that, but it was clear he wasn't fooling Rodney. Maybe he never had been. He definitely should have chosen his words better. He watched emotions flit across Rodney's face one after another until the moment when Rodney visibly shut them all down. It hadn't occurred to John until just that moment that he hadn't realized that Rodney was hiding, wanting this from him just as much as he was hiding it from Rodney, which meant Rodney was capable of some kinds of hiding and discretion, and holy fuck, John was the biggest idiot in two galaxies. Well, Major, Rodney said, voice dripping so much scathing sarcasm John didn't even think of correcting him about the rank, even by reflex. It's good to know you're not the kind of person to let feelings get in the way of your job. Silly of me to think you'd do anything else. It's not like you have a track record of it or anything. This isn't the same and you know it, John snapped back. No one's life is at risk here. It's different. I'm just saying, don't get on your following orders and protocol high horse with me. I know better. Rodney Shaw was jutting forward again in that way that he got when he was certain he was right and running on at least 3.5 hours too few of sleep and 2 cups of coffee too many. Rodney, it's not worth the risk, John hissed. Rodney looked like he had been backhanded by a wraith. That isn't what I mean, John stumbled to say. You know it isn't. No, I think you've made yourself very clear, Rodney said. They will send me back to Earth, John said. Oh, fuck, he said, realizing just how the conversation had gone down. You can't tell anyone about this conversation, he said. Seriously, you can't say a word. Fuck you, Rodney said succinctly. Your clear opinion of me notwithstanding, I have been working on proprietary and top secret projects since before being a pilot was a thought in your fluffy haired little head, and I haven't told anyone shit. Don't blame me for your trouble committing to anything. John just sat there looking at Rodney. He hated this, all of it, but he didn't know how to fix it. He didn't even know what fixed would look like. He just knew this was awful and he hated it. I'm sorry, he finally said. He knew the words were inadequate, but he didn't know what else to say. So am I, Rodney said, surprising John. I didn't realize I had feelings of all the awful things for someone who thinks so little of me, he said flatly. If you will excuse me, I will let you get back to your sleep. I wish to God I had never interrupted it, he finished bitterly. John watched as he walked out the door, spine held rigidly straight. John knew if it had been a standard door, he would have closed it precisely and silently behind him, leaving John closed in with his fears and the regrets they caused. It wasn't so much that John saw Rodney less over the following couple of weeks. They were still on this team together, trained together, faced crises together. No, it was more that he saw less of Rodney. He hadn't realized how differently Rodney treated him than other people until Rodney started treating him the same as everyone else. John, do you have a minute? Elizabeth asked after the morning briefing, after a couple of weeks of what would probably be painful, scrupulous politeness from anyone other than Dr. Rodney McKay. Sure, what's up? John said, following her to her office. Are you and Rodney okay? We're fine. Why? Did he say something? Did he say we're not okay? John realized he'd crossed his arms over his chest. He knew it made him look defensive, but he wasn't sure he could uncross them in any way that wasn't obviously trying to not look defensive. No, Rodney didn't say anything to me, but I have eyes, John. I don't know what happened a couple of weeks ago, but I've never seen you this way together. I don't know what you did, but you need to fix it before it gets worse, she said. What I did? Why do you think I did anything? This is Rodney we're talking about. I know you did something because you mostly look at him the same, but when Rodney looks at you when he thinks no one is watching, he's a mix of angry and sad. Rodney McKay doesn't do sad, but he does now with you, she answered. You need to fix it before you have to go back out in the field. I guess I can try to talk to him. He was hoping he could get out of the room if he said he would. Do that. I don't want to have to come up with a reason to give Caldwell for splitting up your team if I don't have to, but we can't risk you bringing relationship drama on missions anymore. Maybe talk to Dr. Heitmeier. I know she does couples counseling sometimes. Couples? John Maurer mouthed the word, then said it, staring at Elizabeth, completely unable to mask his horror. You know she wouldn't say anything, even if she wasn't a civilian, Elizabeth said calmly, like she hadn't said something completely insane. You think we're a couple, John said, mouth feeling numb and two sizes too big, like he'd just been to the dentist. Well, obviously you're a couple, Elizabeth laughed, and she seemed to really look at whatever his face was doing. Right? She asked, suddenly looking uncertain. I have to go, John somehow made his too large mouth say, then escaped her office. Exploring the city seemed like a good way to spend the day. Solitude, exploration, and maybe he would run across a device that made that conversation make sense. Colonel Shepard, can I see you in the lab? Zelenka's voice crackled over John's headset a couple hours after dinner when he was engaged in his nightly ritual of staring at the ceiling and obsessing over where Elizabeth could possibly have gotten the idea that he and Rodney were in a relationship and why it felt so much like she was right. Only he hadn't been, and now it was over anyway, so why did it matter so much that she thought that? On my way, John said, rolling over to put his boots back on and head out the door. When he got to the labs, Linka pointed to where Rodney was berating a couple of the scientists. He was in full operatic fury mode. John looked back at Zelenka. What? He asked. He has been in this lab for 2 days. He needs sleep. You need to take him to bed, was the horrifying response. What? It does not need to be your bed. I know there is trouble there right now, but he needs to sleep, and you are the only one who will be able to get him to, Zelenka calmly replied. John just stared in shocked horror. He heard breaking glass and looked over to see Rodney waving a piece of equipment at one of the scientists. Go get him, Zelenka said. Realizing that stopping Rodney from physically injuring members of the science team should take priority over figuring out why everyone thought they were in a relationship, John went to rescue the lab techs. Rodney, it's time for bed, he said, putting one hand on Rodney's shoulder and taking away the glass with the other hand. Rodney tried to pull back, but John wouldn't let him. I don't see why you care, he snapped. Come on, Rodney, John said, steering him towards the exit of the lab. 12 hours and you can come back, he said. 12 hours? Do you know how much damage they could do in 12 hours? Rodney's voice was shrill. 8 hours then. It was John's goal from the beginning, but experience had taught him to negotiate when it came to Rodney and sleep. Why were you in the lab anyway? Rodney asked as they exited the transporter near his quarters. Zelenka called me and told me I needed to get you to sleep, John said. That rat, I should. He made sure to tell me I didn't have to take you to my bed since something was obviously wrong there, but I needed to take you to a bed, John said grimly, not even pausing. Rodney's rant about Zelenka cut off. He turned around when John followed him into his quarters. John, I never said anything to Zelenka to make him think that, he said solemnly, eyes sober in his pale, tired face. I know, John said. No, really, I know you think I can't keep things secret, but I promise I never. I know, Rodney, John said wearily. We can talk about it in the morning. You need to sleep, he said, herding the still protesting man toward his bed. I don't know how you think I'm going to sleep now, Rodney said. It's not a conversation I'm having with you until you sleep, John said. 8 hours. Fine, fine, Rodney said, waving irritably towards the door. You can go now. Mission accomplished. It's like you think I don't even know you, John slid down the door to sit against it, knees drawn up. Experience had taught him that Rodney was extremely good at faking sleep, then going straight back to the lab as soon as John left. John woke up when something bounced off his shoulder. He flailed upright, quickly remembering that he was on the floor in front of Rodney's door. Everything hurt, probably because of that first part. He looked down at a crumpled magazine, some sort of astrophysics journal it looked like, then up at Rodney. Did you just throw a magazine at me instead of waking me up like a normal human being? He asked. No, I threw a magazine at the wall near you when yelling at you didn't wake you up, Rodney snapped. He was standing over John, clothes rumpled and arms akimbo. His hair was a mess, and his militant stance contrasted strangely with the air of sleep still surrounding him. You threw a magazine at the wall, but you hit me, John said. Rodney puffed up in indignation. Where I threw the magazine is not the point, Shepard. It's been 8 hours. What the fuck did you tell Zelenka that made him think I would go to bed with you? John winced, but he drew his knees up, resting his arms on them. I don't know, Rodney. I didn't tell him anything, he said, not even trying to sound anything but tired. I know you didn't either, he quickly continued when Rodney drew in a breath to speak. He looked down. It was probably the same thing as whatever we did that made Elizabeth tell me Kate Heitmeyer does couples counseling, he said to his hands. Rodney stumbled backwards a step, running into the bed and sitting down hard. Couples counseling? He said faintly. John nodded. She made sure to point out that Heitmeyer is a civilian and wouldn't say anything even if she wasn't. He could feel Rodney staring at him. She was worried about what she would have to tell Caldwell if she needed to split up our team. She doesn't want to risk us bringing our relationship drama on missions anymore. His hands felt heavy when he made the sarcastic double quotes, so he let them fall loose from his wrists on his knees. He leaned his head against the door and watched Rodney. The other man looked sick. John, you have to believe me. I didn't, he started to say, refusing to make eye contact. I know, Rodney, John said. Rodney, he repeated when the other man continued to look at the floor. Look at me, please. He could hear the note of pleading in his voice, but he was too tired to suppress it. Wasn't even sure he wanted to. He made himself wait until Rodney met his eyes with wary blue ones. I don't blame you for anything they've said. I trust you. No, let me talk. I trust you, Rodney. I know what I said that night, but I was wrong. Obviously, you were wrong, Rodney huffed. He crossed his arms, but he looked relieved too. John got to his feet and stood by the door for a minute, Rodney watching him warily. I'm sorry, he said. For what? There was a belligerent tone to Rodney's voice, a hint of warning. I'm sorry for blaming you for my cowardice, John said, turning away swiftly but not quite fast enough to miss the shock on Rodney's face. I'll see you at breakfast, he said over his shoulder as he bolted out the door. Oh, Colonel Shepherd, it is so good to see you and Rodney have reunited, Taylor said suddenly from down the hallway. You have both seemed quite lost these 2 weeks, she continued. What? No, we. John started to protest because it was clear what Taylor thought, but he looked down at his crumpled clothes from the day before and how badly Rodney's hair was in need of a comb and gave it up as hopeless. We just had some things we needed to talk about, Taylor, that's all, he said. Good you talked it out, Ronan said, heavy sardonic emphasis on the word talked. Yes, well, I need to. John gestured vaguely, then got the hell out of there. He was getting the feeling he'd been an idiot for a lot longer than just since he blamed Rodney for his failure to act on how he felt. By the time Lauren actually got up and moved to give Rodney his normal seat across from John with a welcome back, and Elizabeth smiled warmly across the mess hall when she saw them sitting together, John had come to the horrifying realization that it was entirely possible the only person he'd successfully hidden anything from was, well, Rodney. He was pretty sure Rodney was going through a similar revelation from the look on his face. He was pretty sure it would match the one John could feel on his own face. Shepherd, come over here. Caldwell's voice rose over the chaos in the gate room. John turned from where he was busy strapping on as much weaponry as possible and desperately trying to forget how pale Rodney was when they wheeled him away. Blood streaked over his face and torso and still, so still. It had been so hard to stand there and watch Carson and the nurses wheel him away, but he'd forced himself back to focusing on finding the thing that hurt him. Focused on killing it dead, on killing the thing that tried to kill Rodney. That wasn't how things were supposed to go. Rodney did the things and pulled off the miracles that saved their lives. He wasn't the one who stood between the team and the creature. That was John's job. He certainly wasn't supposed to stand between John and whatever was out for blood. John intended to be sure he knew that for next time. Shepherd, Caldwell yelled again. Yes, sir, John said, walking to him. I'm sorry. It's okay, I understand, Caldwell said. You can take off that gear. You're not going back to the planet. What? No, I need to go. That thing hurt. You need to go be with McKay, Caldwell interrupted. Sir? John hadn't expected that at all. A deeply uncomfortable look settled on Caldwell's face. It's more important that you're there for McKay right now. Let the Marines handle this one, he said. But that's an order, Shepard, Caldwell snapped. Maybe it's one you can find it in yourself to follow, given the circumstances, he said more gently. Yes, sir, John said. Okay. He turned away and carefully stripped off his gear, trying very hard not to think about how Rodney might be. How Rodney was hurt, and it was bad enough that Caldwell pulled John off a mission to sit with him, which meant that Caldwell thought John and Rodney, and things were so bad that Caldwell thought John needed to stay in Atlantis with Rodney and made him do it, and. He hadn't realized he was running until he skidded to a stop outside of the infirmary doors and slapped his hand to the wall to keep his balance. He wasn't sure how long he stood there before he forced himself to step through the doors. Colonel Shepherd, one of the nurses said, I was wondering if we would have to send someone to look for you. Dr. McKay is still in surgery, but you can sit here. Dr. Beckett said to let you know we would keep you updated. John just nodded and sat as directed. It didn't even occur to him to question why they expected him or why Beckett had left a message for him. It seemed everyone on Atlantis from the top down had him happily paired off with Rodney. It both gave him a savage, desperate hope that he might actually get that and made him miserable to think of the time he'd already lost because he didn't want anyone to find out a thing they clearly all thought already. He'd fix it, though, if Rodney still wanted him. If Rodney. John? John shot to his feet. Carson's voice was weary, but when John looked, he didn't see anything on his face other than tiredness. He'll be fine. We fixed the damage and gave him some blood. He'll need a lot of rest, and I don't envy you that job, but he'll be okay, he said, turning back towards the beds. John followed him, sinking into the chair by Rodney's bed. You're so certain that'll be my job, he said absently, distracted by searching Rodney's face for something more than Carson's words that told him he'd be okay. Aye, well, that's part of being a partner now, isn't it? Beckett said. We're not, though, John said, twisting around to look up at him. Really? Carson's skepticism would have been clear from the mainland. Well, we haven't been. Not like everyone thinks, anyway. He looks back towards Rodney. I was too scared, he admitted. I was worried people would find out. Carson snorted. Go ahead, laugh it up, John said sourly. And now that you know what everyone else already thinks? That depends on Rodney. I suppose it does. I'll leave you to it, Carson said. He stepped away, drawing a privacy curtain. John? John jerked upright when he heard Rodney's voice. He hadn't meant to fall asleep. He had no idea what time it was or how long he'd been sitting there. He lurched to his feet, then had to steady himself with a hand on the back of the chair. You're awake. How do you feel? Fuzzy, Rodney said, voice hazy. That's the drugs, John said. Thirsty too, Rodney said. John couldn't quite interpret the look he was giving him. It was mostly confused. That might be the drugs, or it could just be that John was there. Here, John said, grabbing the cup of water sitting by the bed. He carefully helped Rodney get his head up enough to take a few sips through the straw, then settled him back down. He barely suppressed the urge to smooth his hair down. He wasn't really surprised he had that urge, but he didn't expect it to be so hard to resist. A nurse pulled back the curtain, Carson following her. They must have heard their voices. John stood back and let them check all of the things they needed to check. You're going to be just fine, Carson told Rodney. The beast cut you up pretty badly, but it missed all of the organs, and we were able to fix you up. You have some broken ribs and quite a few stitches, so you'll need to avoid exerting yourself for quite some time. I've already told Colonel Shepherd here that he'll have the job of making sure you do. Rodney gave John a startled look. He looked even more confused when John gave him what even he could tell was a pretty weak smile, but he turned his attention back to Carson. He still looked confused after Carson left. Not that I object to you being here, but I don't know why you are. John sighed. I owe you an apology, but it can wait until you're not quite so high, he said. Rodney got that stubborn look that said he was about to argue, but John stared him down. The fact that it worked was truly a sign of how awful Rodney must feel. He sighed and looked away. Did you avenge me? He asked after a moment. No. When Rodney gave him an outraged look, he ran his hand over his hair and down his jaw. Caldwell wouldn't let me go, he said, looking at Rodney's forehead instead of making eye contact. Are you injured? Why are you just sitting here if you're hurt? Rodney said and moved like he was going to sit up. Be still, John said, gently pushing him back down by the shoulder. I don't understand. That's part of the reason I owe you an apology. He said I needed to stay here with you. He looked away. He couldn't look at Rodney's face. He didn't know what he would see, and he wasn't brave enough to find out. Oh, Rodney said faintly. Go to sleep, Rodney. Okay, Rodney said after a moment, which was the clearest evidence John had seen of how much the drugs were impacting him. It took 3 days for Carson to release Rodney from the infirmary. He tried to sneak out twice to go to the lab. After the first attempt, Carson cut him off from the good drugs. He said if Rodney could get out of bed on his own, he clearly didn't need them. Rodney complained about it, but didn't seem to mind the IV being gone the next time he made an escape attempt. That time, he almost made it to the door. Luckily, John was walking through it at that moment and was able to stop him. Okay, you're going to tell me what the hell is going on, and you're going to do it right now, Rodney said when they got to his quarters. You're being weirdly nice to me, and I don't know how you've had enough free time that you've basically been living in the infirmary, but you're going to tell me about it right now. I'll tell you after you get in the bed so you can rest, like Carson told you, John said, glaring at him. They glared at each other for a few minutes until Rodney had to look away. Fine, he said, sitting down to take off his shoes. He winced when he leaned down to do it, and John found himself on his knees untying the first one before he realized he was going to do it. What? Rodney said, eyes wide with confusion and a level of shock that did nothing for John's ego. Just bed, John said, getting the second shoe off. Okay, Rodney answered, still obviously confused. Fortunately, he was already in pajama pants. John didn't know what he would have done if he'd needed to take his pants off. He didn't know what Rodney would have done if he'd offered to help him with that task. When Rodney was settled back against the pillows, John pulled his desk chair over beside the bed and sat down. He searched his eyes, not sure what he was looking for. Just say whatever you're not saying, Rodney snapped. Hold your horses, John snapped back. I'm just trying to decide where to start. Maybe start with the part where Caldwell told you to stay here. John sighed, then looked down, smoothing an imaginary wrinkle on his pants. He said it was important that I be with you. Then a nurse said they were going to send someone looking for me when I didn't get to the infirmary immediately, and Carson called me your partner. Rodney stared at him, mouth hanging open in a really stupid way. John liked him so much. I'm sorry I said you didn't have discretion. I'm sorry I blamed you for my decision to not say anything to you about how I felt. John looked away. I'm sorry for not giving us a chance because I was scared. He looked back, meeting Rodney's eyes. I'd like to change that now. No, Rodney said. No? John hadn't expected that. For one thing, it was a single syllable, single word answer, and Rodney McKay didn't do those. He liked to use lots of long, complicated words. For another, he really hadn't expected Rodney to say it. What, you've never had someone turn you down? Always gotten whomever and whatever you wanted? Rodney was sarcastic and there was some bitterness there too. What? No. I just didn't expect you to say no. Rodney rolled his eyes. Of course you can't imagine anyone saying anything else. You're John Shepherd, daring risk-taking pilot. Who could possibly resist? That's not what I mean, Rodney, John said, frustrated and a little confused. I didn't expect you to say no. You were upset when I did, so why would I expect it from you? And why? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that you didn't ask me until you had Caldwell's blessing, Rodney said, and that was definitely bitter. I don't think it was his blessing as much as him looking the other way. John realized he'd made a mistake as soon as the words came out of his mouth. That isn't the point. What is the point, Rodney? Rodney threw his hands up, looking angry. The point is why you're asking now. John just stared at him. He wasn't really sure what was happening, just that it wasn't what he expected, and it definitely wasn't what he wanted. You didn't want this, us, me, until you knew there was no risk to your precious career, Rodney said. That's not. John stopped, the word true hanging in the air between them. He stopped because he couldn't say it truthfully. He had only been willing to try to have a relationship with Rodney after he found out the man who outranked him wasn't going to report him. I didn't think of it that way. You didn't think at all. You never do. Rodney looked tired. I think I should go. Yeah. Try to get some rest. He waved his hand meaninglessly in Rodney's general direction. Yeah. I guess I'll see you later. John slipped out the door as soon as it opened. He had some thinking to do. John was back in Rodney's room. He kept trying to remind himself that they had been friends and could go back to just being friends. He had to remind himself a lot. Sometimes it even worked, for a while. As for Rodney, he was bored. Turned out a bored Rodney yelled more than normal and spent a lot of time ranting about the other scientists and making plans to blow things up. John was one of the only people who would still visit him by that point, and it was taking a lot of effort to only snap at him once, maybe twice a day. He kept going back to that last conversation. The one where he asked Rodney out and got turned down for what he could see now was a pretty good reason. He'd thought about it a lot, and yeah, it made sense why Rodney said no. John was stubborn, though. He was determined to get what he wanted, and what he wanted was Rodney. He just had to persuade the other man, woo him. How did a person go about wooing Rodney McKay? He came up with the perfect idea. Hey, do you want me to read to you? Rodney stopped halfway through his explanation of why Zelenka's lab assistant was incompetent and stared at him. I can read myself, he said slowly. I'm capable of holding a book. I just thought it might be nice. John shrugged. If you don't want to, that's fine. He would just have to come up with another idea. He could do that, right? No, Rodney said. That might be nice. He said it slowly, and John could hear the question mark at the end, but he would take it. Great, I'll be right back. He bolted before Rodney changed his mind. When he got back, he settled in Rodney's desk chair after making sure the other man was comfortable. Spoke in July 1805, the renowned Anna Pavlova, sharer, maid of honor, and intimate of the Empress Maria Feodor. Wait, 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 Rodney interrupted. Is that War and Peace? John nodded. You decided it was a good idea to make me sit through War and Peace when I was trapped? Are you really that petty? I turned you down, so you decided to turn to Russian literature as some sort of last resort? Rodney's face was steadily turning red, and John had no idea what to say to that. I thought it might be nice, John stammered. He didn't know what he expected, but it certainly wasn't outrage. You knew I was trapped, so you decided to torture the dying man with Tolstoy and terrible French? John rolled his eyes before he realized that was probably a bad idea. You aren't dying, Rodney. You don't know that. Your stitches are coming out tomorrow, and you've been able to walk around for days. So? That doesn't guarantee any sort of outcome. You aren't dying, Rodney. That still doesn't mean you can do this to me. Now Rodney was pouting. John was just exasperated. I'm sorry you disapprove of my reading material. Is there something else you would like me to read? No, Rodney huffed. I don't know why you have that anyway. It's incomprehensible. What do you mean it's incomprehensible? You're the one always saying what a genius you are. That doesn't mean I'm interested in wasting my time on every subject, Rodney said. Besides, literature is hardly science. John grinned. He thought he was getting the idea now. You tried to read it and didn't get it, so you're mad at me for bringing it here to read to you. That is not an accurate depiction of events. You're deliberately misinterpreting what I said. Why do you have that anyway? Do you secretly harbor a love for extremely dense, depressing books? John shrugged. We didn't know if we could get back, so I thought it was a good idea to bring a long book. And what, you decided to trap me into reading it too? I'm glad to read you something that you'll comprehend better, John said, trying to sound innocent. Comprehend better. You know what? Just go away. You're vexing me. Now he's using historical language, John teased, feeling better than he had in days. Rodney grabbed at a pillow, then seemed to realize throwing one at John would cause him to overbalance. He checked around him, but there was nothing in reach that he could throw. John wasn't an idiot in every way. He'd removed anything that could be thrown from Rodney's reach after his first day out of the infirmary. Go away, John. I have things to do. Things to do? What kind of things? Just go. Rodney looked flustered and indignant, but his hair was standing up in three places and he was wearing pajamas, so he didn't quite pull off the angry look he was obviously going for. Fine, fine, John said. He tried to make it out the door before he started laughing. He wasn't successful. He did manage to get away before the pillow hit him, though. Rodney yelped fuck behind him. John guessed that meant his prediction about overbalancing came true, but he didn't dare go back to check. A couple of weeks after the War and Peace debacle, John went to Rodney's quarters on a Friday night. Things had been basically normal between them since then, but he wasn't satisfied with basically normal anymore. He wanted to change the definition of normal altogether. He had a plan. He really hoped it worked because it had taken him more than 2 weeks to come up with, and it was the only one he'd come up with. When Rodney answered the door, John held up the DVD and popcorn he was carrying. He had something else for Rodney, but it wasn't time for that. Man, that sounded dirty, even in his head. Want to watch a movie? He asked, both because he wanted to watch the movie with Rodney and to distract himself from his thoughts. What movie? Rodney asked, which was needlessly suspicious, but he shuffled aside to let John in anyway. Top Gun, John said, walking past him. There was silence. You hate Top Gun, Rodney said. Hate is a strong word. You like it, though, plus there's the volleyball scene. Rodney's eyes unfocused a little bit, clearly seeing that scene in his mind. Okay, yes, fine, Rodney said impatiently, waving at the couch. John sat down, popcorn in his lap. He handed Rodney the DVD. Rodney hesitated before he sat down. He ended up sitting a little closer to John than normal. So I can reach the popcorn, he said, as if John needed any sort of explanation or was going to object or something ridiculous like that. Rodney started the movie. It had taken a couple of viewings for John to realize Rodney actually liked it under the snarky comments. He didn't seem to mind when John complained about all the ways it was unrealistic, though. They were both silent through the volleyball scene, of course. When the credits started, Rodney turned the movie off. John put the popcorn bowl on the coffee table. He took a deep breath. He couldn't see a way his plan would go wrong, but he didn't always know how Rodney's mind worked. It was one of the things he liked about him. He turned slightly towards Rodney. Close your eyes. I have something for you. Rodney looked startled, then he scowled. You sound like a high schooler. Is this some sort of prank? You have something disgusting you're going to give me just so you can laugh? Rodney, just do it, John said, trying not to let too much fondness creep in with the exasperation. Fine, Rodney huffed. John dropped his surprise into Rodney's hands. Okay, you can look, he said, watching Rodney's face. Rodney opened his eyes and looked at the full-size Snickers in his hand. If John hadn't been watching him so closely, he would have missed all the emotions going across his face. Surprise, soft pleasure, and finally a happy smile. Where did you get this? He asked. I traded with one of the botanists, he said, grinning back. What did you have to trade to get this? Rodney kept looking between John's face and the candy bar. Little bit of this, little bit of that, John answered, waving his hand. He quit doing that fast. He had been going for nonchalant, but was pretty sure it actually looked manic. For me? Why? John shrugged. I like you. You like me because I regularly save your life, like me, or you like me? He trailed off at the end. At the risk of sounding like a high schooler again, I like you, John answered. He rolled his eyes while he did, but that was mostly for form's sake. Oh, Rodney looked down at the candy, then back at John. To John's delight, the tips of his ears were going pink. He leaned forward and put the candy on the table. Can I kiss you? Now Rodney's face was turning pink. As thank you, I mean. John decided to take mercy on him. It wasn't exactly a sacrifice. You could kiss me even if it wasn't a thank you, he said, smiling in a way that he hoped was encouraging and sexy. Oh, Rodney said. Well. He leaned forward and brushed his lips gently over John's. Then he started to draw back, and that just wouldn't do. John raised his hand and lightly wrapped it around Rodney's jaw. He leaned in closer and kissed Rodney properly. He kept it sweet. He didn't want to scare him off, but definitely not light. Rodney sighed, his lips parting. John decided that was basically an invitation to lick across his bottom lip, then into his mouth. When Rodney's tongue slid over his, he lost the ability to think clearly, let alone make decisions. He leaned in closer, supporting himself with an arm on the back of the couch, and slid his hand around to the back of Rodney's head. He then proceeded to lose all sense of time, caught up in the feeling and taste of Rodney. He only resurfaced when Rodney shoved at his shoulders, pushing him back against the couch. He made a complaining noise that might be mistaken for a whine. He really didn't want to stop kissing. He stopped protesting when Rodney swung a leg over him and ended up straddling his lap. Is this okay? Rodney asked. He looked uncertain. His hair was sticking up and he was flushed. John liked the look on him a lot. He wrapped his arms around Rodney's shoulders and pulled him down so he could let him know just how okay it was. He slid his hands down and shoved them under Rodney's shirt so he could feel the smooth skin of his back. He jumped when Rodney pushed his own shirt up and put his cold hands on his stomach. I'm sorry, I know they're cold, Rodney said against his neck. John didn't answer, just arched up into Rodney's hands. He pulled Rodney in, biting his jaw. What do you want? He asked, knowing he was just a few kisses and touches away from being unable to speak. Rodney didn't say anything, but he started to unbutton John's pants, so John decided he didn't really care. Taking that as tacit permission, he attacked Rodney's clothing as well, only to find that Rodney was wearing a belt. Why are you, oh God, he said as Rodney got his zipper down and slid his hand into John's boxers, wrapping it around his cock. Fuck, fucking belt, God damn it, he panted. He finally got to Rodney's cock. He honestly couldn't decide what felt better, the way Rodney's cock felt in his hand or the way Rodney's felt on his. He was just glad he didn't have to make a choice. His head fell back when Rodney bit down on that spot, the one where his neck met his shoulder, the one that had always driven him wild. He moaned and almost lost his rhythm. Only the feel of Rodney's lips and what was definitely a smirk against his neck caused him to keep around 53% of his focus on driving Rodney crazy. He twined his free hand in Rodney's hair and used it to pull Rodney's head up so he could kiss him. He twisted his palm over the head of Rodney's cock, making Rodney gasp against his mouth and buck his hips. John didn't have much time to feel victorious before Rodney did something with his hand. Fuck. John was too gone to tell what, but all he could do was writhe beneath him. He should have known sex with Rodney would be competitive. He thought he had won when he grabbed Rodney's ass, and he groaned before thrusting forward and starting to come all over John. Until he realized he was about to come too, because holy fucking hell, that was hot. He dropped his head back, lolling it against the back of the couch. Rodney slumped forward against his chest. John knew they were going to get stuck together and his hand was going to go numb where it was trapped between them, but he just did not care. He felt satisfied to the tips of his fingers and toes, and from the way Rodney was panting against his neck, he didn't think he was the only one. What the fuck, Rodney slurred. Why haven't we been doing that all along? Because we're both idiots, John said, lifting his head. He had this sudden urge to kiss the top of Rodney's head, so he did. We're going to keep doing it, right? Rodney asked, turning his head to kiss John's neck. If you want, John said, going for casual. Only if I want, Rodney asked, sitting up straight. John winced, feeling his chest hair pull from where it was glued to Rodney. He put his hands on Rodney's hips. Well, I know that I want to, but I didn't want to assume. He had a hard time keeping his lips from twitching. You know I do, asshole, Rodney said with a grumpy look on his face. John couldn't help but lean forward and kiss him. Yeah, me too, he said when he pulled back. I needed a shower, Rodney said, clambering off John's lap. John turned to watch him walk away, staring at his ass because he was allowed to do that now. Rodney turned to look over his shoulder. Are you coming? Not for a little bit, John said, purposely leering. I'm not that young anymore. Rodney rolled his eyes and turned back to walk into the bathroom. John got up and followed. It wasn't as if he would ever do anything else. The end. Author's notes. Full credit to the friend who suggested Top Gun as the movie and reminded me of the volleyball scene. Genius. Come see me on Tumblr or Dreamwidth as Whimsical Meerkat.